This feature of the Science News Radio Network is coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas. Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
Hey, it is good to see you. So good you dropped in again as we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation. In the first half hour, we've got a really interesting guest, Peter DeNagy. He's going to be speaking at the MetroCon conference that's going on the 7th of November in Hearst, Texas. If you want to know more about that, check out our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you will see a link to that conference. And Peter, he's going to be talking about overcoming connectivity challenges to support smart agriculture and rural IoT applications. IoT, of course, is the Internet of Things that we talk about on this program nearly all the time. Peter is president of the Internet of Things America. That's a company, an LLC, and he's focused on managed IoT, servicing all of rural America. He's got some fascinating things about the farm that I didn't know. You might, but whatever, you get a nice update, and I've got an important question for him in the second half hour. What are we going to do with all these workers that are going to have a lot of spare time on their hands because robots and IoT are going to be doing all the work for us? How are we going to take the working class and make sure they've got enough money for the trickle-up economy that is so important to this country? And, of course, we're going to visit the Den of Strangers, get more wisdom from somebody a lot of us never heard of. We're going to visit our fountain of useless information we have here on the set of the second half of the program. Today we're going to ask a question that you probably know, and I think everybody might know, but we'll see if we can stump the fountain of useless information that's in the second half. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. People tell us that the voice of reason is one of the most popular parts of the program that they listen to. And one person even asked me if I put it all in a book form sometime and said he'd go ahead and he'd write the book. If you're listening on radio, you can also hear us commercial-free online anytime at promiseoftomorrow.biz. So you're going to get a very fascinating peek at rural America from Peter DeNagy. As soon as we get to him here in just a minute, he's standing by at the telephones, and it's focused on management of connectivity and IoT solution integration on servicing all of rural America. I get into a big discussion every once in a while about how all the farms are corporate, and he says that's not true. He said there's a lot of independent farmers out there, and a lot of them are working for the corporate people who own the land and working the land and paying, you know, for the use of it. So I have a good friend who's doing just that. So bringing IoT to rural America can be a real godsend for these people. Anyway, let's get on with our program. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Well, we're going to go to the phones now, and I want to introduce you to Pete DeNagy. DeNagy, I guess, is how we pronounce his name. Anyway, he's going to be speaking at MetroCon on IoT, the Internet of Things, and you can find out more about that conference at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link to the conference to tell you all about it. But in the meantime, Pete is here. He's the president of Internet of Things America, focused on managed IoT, and the subject of his presentation is overcoming connectivity challenges to support smart agriculture and rural IoT applications, and it sounds like this is going to be quite an interesting talk. So welcome to the program, Pete.
Well, thanks, Colonel. I appreciate you having me on. So we're pretty excited about this. This should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun every year. This is our 31st year of doing it. But I there's a number of questions that have come up here. For a layperson like me, like support smart agriculture. Are you going to explain what smart agriculture is before we can move forward with our questions?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So agriculture has, in some regards, stayed patent and static in the way we grow things for thousands and thousands of years. In a number of ways, agriculture is the most innovative part of society. You know, technology has gone forward and done amazing things with increasing yields of crops, increasing and improving the ways we harvest crops, in animal science, in the ability to go forward and derive greater yields from farms. However, one of the things that has been a challenge is with the boom of technology and the advances of the internet and the ability to go forward and drive innovation, agriculture has in some regards been left behind. And primarily the reason for that is not the fact that people don't want to go forward and improve the capabilities and the manners in which we grow and harvest crops, is the fact that they can't actually implement technology in the field due to the lack of connectivity.
Mm. Okay. That helps answer the questions. I want to explore this a little further, but I'm talking with a friend of mine over the weekend. He says, you know, there's no independent farmers any longer. He said they're all corporate farms. And I wasn't aware that they're all corporate farms. I thought there are many of them. But do you have a problem differentiating between the independent farmer and corporate farms? And is it really true that the independent farmer is gone?
So, in some regards, that's not a false statement. There are a lot of independent farmers still left. However, there's a mantra in farming today: go big or go home. Now, one of the trends is that farmers are not necessarily selling the farm. What farmers are doing are leasing land to large corporations. So the economies of scale in farming are such that you can derive more value in a larger farm than you can in a smaller farm. The average farm size in America has grown from 434 acres in 2012 to 504 acres in 2017. So that trend's compelling, and the reason for it is young people aren't going into farming at the same pace that their predecessors have. The average farmer is getting older, and the number of farmers in America are dwindling. That and the fact that there are actually less acres of farmland every year being harvested, and that becomes impactful. Yet we have a big problem. The big problem is, you know, our population is growing. Right now the world has roughly 7.1 billion people, and the projections are by 2050, the world is going to have 9 billion people. And the big issue with regard to that is the number of resources available remains static at best. Okay? There is no more land that's being made to farm. There is no more water being, you know, water is a renewable resource, yet it's a finite resource.
Right, yeah.
And 70% of all water used in the United States is for agriculture. And, you know, there's a lot of trends that people don't want to use fertilizers and pesticides for good reason. So farmers are in a quandary. With fewer farmers on less land, how do I raise more food to feed more people?
Okay. So the image of the independent farmer all in a knit because of these tariffs that are causing the soybean market to disappear or fall dramatically. These are really big corporations and boardrooms, and not some independent farmer standing out in the field saying, "Oh, woe is me, I've lost my market." Is that right?
A lot of them are big corporations that are saying, "Woe is me, I've lost my market." But there are some larger independent farmers. They haven't gone away completely. You know, some family farms have consolidated into companies. So what used to have, you know, Farmer Jones down the street, or the picture of American Gothic with the farmer and his wife and the pitchfork, have changed to the family farm, which is a corporation with higher hands. Now, that being said, the soybean market collapsing due to tariffs and foreign competition is absolutely, you know, it's a reality.
Okay, so who's being affected then, the big corporations or farmers pervasively?
Yes, both.
Okay, all right. So your company, the Internet of Things America, is facing the challenges of connectivity for IoT. How is that going to change things?
Great question, Colonel. Right now, the federal government has active programs to provide broadband access to the farm, okay, so that they can go and utilize technology. Because there have been great promises and great capabilities shown by leveraging the data to go forward and provide historical, real-time, and predictive modeling to increase the yields. So the government is spending billions of dollars bringing fiber connectivity to the field, you know, to the farmhouse. The issue at hand, however, is that the data and the sensors that need to be collected are out in the field. If I have a 10,000-acre ranch, and I have fiber to my farmhouse, and I have broadband speeds, the good news is I can do a lot of corporate and detailed analytical work in the farmhouse. The problem is I have no real ability to collect data from the field because cell companies, and rightfully so, haven't built a lot of infrastructure in rural America to cover the fields. They might cover the farmhouse, they might cover the road, but they're not going to architect their wireless, their 4G wireless connectivity schema to go forward into pasture land. And what we do is we manage the capabilities that are there. So if there is cellular, we manage it and provide connectivity to sensors and solutions. And if there is no connectivity available, then we install LPWAN gateways, low-powered wide area network gateways that have the ability to connect thousands of sensors for the farm or the ranch over a vast array of land.
So why is this useful? Is this for self-driving tractors or regulating the amount of water that flows to a stock tank or to a field or something? Or what's the use of this?
That's a great question, right? So let's take a couple of use cases. So I'm a rancher, and I have a 10,000-acre ranch. I might have 36 water tanks on my farm to go, you know, for my cattle to drink. Now, I have to go and check those 36 tanks on a daily basis to see if there's water, because if there is no water, then of course obviously we have a problem with the cows and they potentially could die of thirst. So the average rancher spends on a 10,000-acre farm 2 to 3 hours every day going forward and checking to see if there's water tanks, water in the tanks. And they have the same problem with diesel tanks for their for the tractors and plows. And they have the same problem with propane tanks because, of course, there's no city gas in rural America. So we have to go and you know, utilize propane for that powering. Concurrently, you have probably a large fence infrastructure with many gates. Okay, the ability to go forward and see if the gates are open or closed right now without sensor technology, without IoT, means that I have to go and check the gates, which could be getting on my horse, getting on my four-wheeler, getting in my truck, and driving around the proximity. Okay, with sensors, you could absolutely do that. Let's say I'm a farmer. I can go forward and put soil sensors in to manage, you know, to monitor the pH, to monitor the moisture. I can have weather data, weather sensors to monitor the weather. And that's important in a big farm because the weather on one side of the farm is vastly different than the weather on the other side of a farm, you know, from a precision perspective. I can go forward and monitor, you know, my nitrogen level in the ground. I can monitor, you know, how I have deployed pesticides or fertilizers. I can monitor the growth of the crops. I can monitor weed infestation. And I can go and monitor all sorts of livestock health applications as well, including stress and heartbeat, temperature, and whether a cow is in heat or whether a cow is giving birth. You know, these are things that are very useful because at the end of the day, the only asset that the farmer has is his land and her time.
Yeah.
Okay, and by improving the utilization of both, we anticipate the ability to deliver greater yields to go and fulfill that value proposition of feeding America.
Well, I get the picture. That is that's a clear picture, and I want to thank you a bunch, Pete, for making that so vivid for me and hopefully for our listeners. Then, of course, there's the question you might have already touched on, and maybe you can delve a little deeper. How are you going to overcome these connectivity challenges since the connectivity doesn't currently exist much?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a hard question to answer, right? So we call it the Mississippi River problem. So when you're west of the Mississippi, there are great expanses of America that are ranches and farms, but no people. Cell companies never put in the infrastructure because they're measured by a financial metric called ARPU, which is average revenue per user. Well, very few cows use cell phones, right? So they're not going to go and derive smartphone revenues off wireless contracts by instantiating service in farms. So what we have come to utilize where there is no cellular connectivity, and let me make this perfectly clear, we will certainly use cellular technology to manage these solutions where cellular technology exists. We really don't care about the type of connectivity. However, where there is no connectivity, let's call it a connectivity desert, we put in LoRa gateways. So LoRaWAN, and that's spelled L-O-R-A, is a standard that was approved in 2015, so it is a new standard, that utilizes narrowband over 900 megahertz. And we can install a LoRa gateway very inexpensively on a farmhouse, and that gateway will connect up to 20,000 concurrent sensors over a 10-kilometer radius. So in essence, if you do some quick math, 10 kilometers is about 6.2 miles, or if you look at the entire area of that coverage, one gateway will cover about 75,000 acres.
And this is all done wireless, RF, I guess. Is that right?
Yeah, it's 900 megahertz RF. That's right. It is unlicensed spectrum. It is free to use. Now, doing 900 megahertz in a city is a little bit of a challenge because there's a lot of systems contending for that, you know, that free spectrum, that bandwidth.
Yeah.
In rural America, however, you know, very few cows use baby monitors. So we're not really seeing much competition for that spectrum. So it makes it an ideal utilization of a resource that's available for anybody to use to connect sensors and provide important value.
This appears to be a vast market for the Internet of Things America, and you look like you're really on your way. But you've got to contact all these farmers and corporations and say, here's something that that we can do. But that looks to be like you've got your work cut out for you for the next couple of years.
You know, it's very interesting. It's formerly I was a partner at a consulting firm called Accenture, and you know, after that, I was the general manager of enterprise mobility at a company called Samsung. And we had very different problems in growing our market. You know, the need is absolutely dynamic in rural America. It is a market that's hugely underserved and has great value that's pretty undeniable. What the challenge, and you've hit it right on the head, you know, there are over 3 million farms in America, and getting to each of the farms to A, install equipment, and B, to go forward and stand up solutions. Because we're doing more than just lighting up the solutions. We're also providing a catalog of solutions for the farmer to go forward and stand up, right? Or for the small town to go forward and stand up. Because candidly speaking, farmers are really smart. Farmers are really diligent people. They're the hardest people working. In some regards, they're the hardest working people in America. However, they don't. They're not IoT technologists. They're not going to go forward and say, "What's my best IoT solution for irrigation, or proximity sensors, or tank monitoring, or meter reading?" And we're trying to make it easy because we're also going to stand up a marketplace of solutions where they can go in and pick the solution that provides the greatest ROI, TCO, or compliance benefit for the farmer, and provide them, you know, management of those capabilities as well.
So, Pete, when you put the wraps on this presentation you're going to make at MetroCon, you want people to leave with one succinct idea, I presume, and can you give us a little summary of what you want the takeaway to be?
Yeah, so the takeaway is IoT is complex. We're trying to take the complexity out of IoT for rural applications so that farmers, ranchers, small towns can go and focus on what they do best and leverage IoT to improve their yields by 10 to 30%.
Wow, that's quite a vision. And Pete, I got a few more questions for you, but we're going to have to break at the half hour for station ID, and then we'll be right back with Peter Dedeghe. And I got an important question I want to ask you. This is something that I'm asking all the IoT people. What happens with IoT? And we have robots replacing all this labor. We're going to have all these people unemployed. How are we going to keep the trickle-up economy money for the working person? We'll address that in the second half hour, so stick around. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all the wisdom of mankind. Who in the Den of Strangers will we meet today?
Franklin D. Roosevelt. It isn't sufficient to ask yourself what you want, but rather, What do you need to do to get the things you want?